Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
We are moving on forward now to our next conversation at 14 minutes after 3 with our pastor Jonathan Musvosby joining us to give us some perspective on the book Steps to Christ, The Power of Prayer. Many people have argued there is no inherent power in prayer, but the contrary view is that there is power in prayer. Prayer is more than just a routine. If you're going to do it as just a routine, then perhaps you might not find any power in it. It's the lifeline of a Christian. Steps to Christ, we're told, describes prayer as the key to unlocking heaven's power. But why? Why do so many struggle with consistent, meaningful prayer? How do we move on beyond mechanical prayers into real communication with God? Those questions will be answered by our pastor, Jonathan Musvosby, joining us on the line. And Punitz, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon.
Our first question, Punitz, is very downright, straight down the aisle. What does Steps of Christ teach us about the importance of prayer?
Well, first of all, the chapter on prayer defines prayer as the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. In prayer, I present my daily needs to God, and it is an opportunity for me to develop my relationship with God. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter admonishes us. He says, cast all your cares, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So in prayer, I cast all my fears, I cast all my guilt, I cast all my concerns on Jesus, because he cares for me.
So why do many Christians struggle with prayer, consistent prayer?
Why do many Christians struggle with consistent prayer? Steps to Christ answers this very well. And in Steps to Christ, it says, he who does nothing but pray will soon cease to pray. And then it says, the life must be like Christ's life, that is between the mountain and the multitude. Now, let me explain what that means. It says, the life must be like that of Christ between the mountain. That's the time when Christ was in the mountain to pray. He spent a lot of time in seclusion, just praying. But after prayer, Christ was with the multitude. And then it says, when we cease to work earnestly for the salvation of others, we lose interest in prayer. And so that's one major reason why people will lose that interest in consistent prayer. When we cease to work for the salvation of others, we lose interest in prayer. Prayer becomes just formal, routine, and selfish. And it says we sustain a loss when we neglect the privilege of associating together with others to encourage and strengthen one another.
Right.
I hope that answers the question.
It does. Quite frankly, I'd love to sit down with Ellen White and inquire more. I mean, that's a powerful statement. Okay. So, how does prayer strengthen our relationship with God? Because there's another hidden gem in what you are saying. It implies that it sustains our relationship with God. How? How does prayer strengthen our relationship with God?
Thank you very much. Prayer is basically communication. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing.
Right.
That
right.
means communicate without ceasing. We must be in the mood of communication with God. We must cultivate the that habit of constantly talking to God. That is the only way we cultivate a relationship with God.
Right.
When we cease to pray, we break that communication. You know, when I was a young boy, I entered into many love relationships. But those relationships could only be sustained by communication. And communication was very difficult those days because we didn't have WhatsApp and we didn't have cell phones. So in order to communicate with someone far away, I had to walk 9 kilometers to buy a stamp and an envelope. And then you have a writing pad. You have to buy a writing pad, then write a letter, then go and post the letter. And it was a tedious process. And when I decided I didn't want to go through that, you know what happened to the relationship? The relationship also ended because there was no more communication.
Mm.
The same thing happens in our communication with God. The moment we cease to communicate, then we break our relationship.
Mm. So what exactly is going on, Mfundisi? So what's stopping us from praying, really? If prayer is so powerful, what are these things that are stopping us from it? What are the barriers that hinder effective prayer?
What are some of the barriers that hinder effective prayer? Yes, that is a very important question, my brother. But the Bible answers it. And you find that quite a few clues from Steps to Christ as well. In chapter 66, verse 18, and you find that in the chapter on prayer from Steps to Christ. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That is in Psalms 66, verse 18. So if there is any sin that I am still cherishing, if I am clinging on to some known sin, and then I come to God in prayer, it simply tells us that the Lord will not hear. So my duty when I come to God is I need to put away known sin. Now, that doesn't mean that if I am still cherishing some sin that I can't come to God. What it means is when I know I'm cherishing some sin in my life, I need to constantly come to God and say, God, I am having a challenge with this sin, and I'm cherishing it. Help me to put this sin away. And I keep doing that. I keep coming to God so that he helps me to get rid of some known sin.
Okay. I hear you.
There's also, yes, then there's also another barrier that is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. When we come to God and we ask for mercy, he says, we are saying, forgive us, forgive me. You know, the model prayer that Christ gave us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If I am not willing to forgive someone and I come to Christ, that becomes a barrier to prayer. And so, again, I should constantly ask God, God, help me to forgive this person. Help me to forgive this wrong that has been done to me. That should be my attitude.
Hmm. Finally, yes. Mfundisi, how can we develop a more vibrant prayer life?
Sorry, I did not hear.
How can we develop a more vibrant prayer life?
How can we develop a more vibrant prayer life? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 exhorts us. to be sober and to watch and to pray. That means it's my responsibility, your responsibility. Everyone who is a Christian has that responsibility to watch, to be sober and watch and to pray. But steps to Christ also encourages us. Three things that we are encouraged to do in order to have a vibrant prayer life. First, it encourages us to be present where prayer meetings are held, so that we do not isolate ourselves and just mind about our own prayers. And so we need to be present where prayers are being made, maybe at church circle. We need to be present. That's one. And then second, it encourages us to pray in home circles, that is within the family. We need to spend time just praying within the family. And then the third, which I think is very critical, the third one, is private prayer. Take time to pray in private, because as I pray in private, I make known to God my private wants, and I have an opportunity to confess my sins in privacy. And all this will help us to develop a more vibrant prayer life.
Right, right, right. Okay, I hear you. Interesting, interesting indeed. That's all wisdom flowing from the Steps to Christ piece of literature penned down by Ellen Gold White. Pastor Jonathan Musvosvi giving us some insights. Symphonies, thank you very much once again for your time. We'll meet again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.